Welcome to Hope for You. This is Freedom Conference Edition. We have a live in-house audience. Thank you all so much for being here.
Hey, everybody.
I have with me Brother Tracy Harris, all the way from Texarkana.
Hallelujah. Actually, I'm all the way from heaven, and I live in Texarkana.
There you go. Yes. Your voice sounded as if it was from heaven right then.
Well, I hope it does most of the time.
Amen. Well, glory to God. I just want to say thank you all for being here. Thank you for watching. If you have your phones and it's on there, just make sure everything is muted and off so we're not hearing ourselves talking a few seconds later. That's awesome. But thank you all for being here. And, you know, the Hope for You's, we're doing it this way, again, just to have the engagement. This is a time you can say amen. You can participate. You can just, like it's a regular church service. And then afterwards, if the Holy Spirit leads that direction, and there's ministry that takes place or whatever, it's open, available to that for you if you have that direction. If not, then amen. We receive what the Holy Spirit delivers today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, you know, I think that's about it for the, I always call it the preamble. So we're just going to jump into it. So thank you so much for being here again.
What an absolute joy. And I just want to thank all of you for being here today and everybody that's watching today. I really do believe lives are going to change forever.
Amen.
You know, you can't, it's impossible not to recognize from the beginning of what we know as the authoritative Word of God, that in the beginning God created. And when the Apostle John said, and he opened his gospel, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. There was not anything made that was made without him. Was not anything made that was made. Which means that if God's going to make anything new in your life, he's going to do it with words.
Yes, amen.
Faith-filled words that bring light and take what's out of order and chaotic and bring it into order. And I just know there's that atmosphere here today.
Yes, amen.
For lives to change.
Yes, there's an expectation. And I think there's a, just, you know, with any conference or camp meeting, people come, I think, with a greater sense of expectation, which is great, but also kind of unfortunate. It's not like that every Sunday.
Yeah.
And every time the church is there.
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting. You said that years ago, a number of years ago, much younger in the ministry, but we had a, I think it was a Christmas banquet. Everyone dressed up. We used to do that annually, and we did it about the second week in December and so forth. And I still remember we would go to a banquet hall, a big ballroom at the nicest hotel in town. We would get a big dinner prepared. People have to sign up, the whole deal. We'd have a special speaker. We really did it up. And, you know, I still remember, even though it was a banquet and very kind of proper in that way, the Spirit of God began to move in a powerful way, when, you know, and the Holy Ghost used the speaker. But one of the things he said when he got up, and I've just never forgotten it, a dear friend of mine, great minister of the gospel, and is quite well known, still in the ministry, ministers with us some today. But he said, you know, isn't it funny how when we set a special event and we get dressed up and we put on our special clothes, and we have special decorations and special times and special preparation, and you set time away or time apart so that you're not doing something else. You marked it on your calendar. And he just went down all this whole list of special things people do to prepare.
Yeah.
He said, isn't it amazing when we make it, when we determine that we're going to do all of these special things to make this moment happen, that God shows up and special things happen.
Yeah.
And I think it has to do with our reciprocation. Everything in the kingdom, the entire kingdom, operates by the law of seed time and harvest. That's why God says, those that honor me, I will honor.
Yes.
People need to understand the covenant is between two parties, and either party can initiate that covenant.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that this is about tithing today, but it's why there's so much attack from the enemy around strong, everlasting ordinances, which the Bible is very clear will never change, is because God instituted them for the exact purpose of operating in the fullness of what the covenant provides.
Yeah.
Tithing is really not about money. It's actually about honor.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's done correctly, It's where the blessing and the honor gets released from heaven, and those two worlds collide. So the point being that we see a lack of honor in Jesus' hometown.
Yes.
And the special miracles he carried there could not manifest.
Amen.
They didn't treat him special.
They didn't.
They treated him common. And because they treated the anointing common, was a demonstration of a lack of honor. He identified honor, and he called to honor unbelief. So it's a lack of expectation, or people unable to believe that at this moment that God wills for this to be someone's life-changing linchpin, pivotal point of insight into the door of destiny.
Yes, amen.
And if they would just come believing God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, you could get an answer today of something you've been praying in tongues about for 2 years, and
that's
it just click.
That's right.
But you have to make a draw by faith
that's
on that.
Right.
So anyway, thank you for coming. Thank you for watching.
Yes.
What a day we're going to have. Yeah.
I know. It's awesome. And I just want to also just let everybody know that the enemy always wants to try and distract us. So our neighbors deciding to cut down a couple of trees today is not going to distract us.
Amen.
We're going to get what the Holy Spirit has for us. And so, you know, all the stuff going on, the extra noise and fun, that's just part of the ambiance of the service. So
I like it. Yeah.
So the question I have for you, and asked Pastors Eddie and Allie yesterday, and it'll be the same question tomorrow for the Bookmans, but how does the revelation of righteousness, which, awesome, you ministered on that last night, just the Holy Spirit has this all laid out. How does the revelation of righteousness impact the Holy Spirit's ability to flow in our lives or to operate in our lives?
I think that's a great question. And certainly one that I think the scripture speaks to in so many places that people would be stunned at the connection. And if you don't mind, for my purposes of maybe stepping into the answer to that question, listening to you talk about it is, you know, you talked about how does it affect the Holy Spirit's ability to move in our lives. But I think the bottom line is there's always power present.
Yes.
He's always moving. He's always willing.
Yes.
He never changes.
That's right.
I think a revelation of righteousness doesn't affect his ability to move. I think it affects our ability to yield and respond and flow with him.
That's right, yeah.
And I think that's the first premise we have to see is the connection between the two and how vital is it if we desire to be used in the power of God.
Yes.
You know, and those things are very, very clear. Actually, to me, in my heart, they're clearly defined in the scripture. And in fact, we're talking about it. Why don't we just go there?
Yeah.
Let's just go to a starting place here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3. It's one that comes up in my spirit. Would be a good place to start today. And for everybody that's watching here today, I believe it'll be a blessing. For everybody that's online, I believe it'll be a blessing. Galatians chapter 3. And here's what he says, starting in verse 5. Now, there's a contextual setting that, fortunately, I don't know exactly how long the broadcast normally is.
However we need to go.
Well, I like that. Praise God. Amen. We might just...
but, it's Freedom Conference. You're free.
Yeah, it's freedom. We're free.
That's
Hallelujah.
Right.
Well, praise God. I'm glad. In the fullness of time, the scripture says.
That's right.
All right. But here, I think it's important to look at this because I think some Holy Spirit's going to identify some things that will help people to see the connection. Here it says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. So the Spirit, we'll go there a second. I'm really tempted to turn to another verse of cross-reference here, but we'll just hang right here for a moment. The Spirit has, the Holy Ghost has a ministry. That's something that not just Christians need to know, preachers need to know, and that his ministry is what empowered Jesus with the anointing of the Messiah. Let's, before we go here, let's go look at that. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 3, and I think it will detail the course of how the two flow together. In Matthew chapter 3, it says here, from the John the Baptist, he says, starting in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you, which is immerse, with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, what we're talking about, we're talking about he's coming, and when he comes, I'm baptized with water, but when he comes, he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire, right? So John sees him, and Jesus came to be baptized of him. Now watch this. He's got a revelation that Jesus is mightier than him.
Yes.
So Jesus is going to come and ask him to baptize him in water. And John forbade him. He stopped him, resisted him, saying, "Oh, I have need to be baptized of you."
Right.
"And you're coming to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Allow it to be, or suffer it to be so now, for it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Glory be to God. Now we're going to see now in the pattern of our Lord's ministry the track between righteousness and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And what you see here is, so then he allowed him. Now the Bible tells us in the Amplified Classic, Jesus replied to him in verse 15, "Permit it just now, for this is the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness." That is, to perform completely whatever's right, and he permitted him. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up at once out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, or I delight." So what we see is that Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was 30 years old. And when he was 25, he was just as much born of God, just as much the Son of God, just as much sinless. So what's going on here? Well, we see clearly then that the baptism of water is a type and a shadow of his humanity. He is getting baptized into the stream of humanity, that he's not going to carry out his miracle ministry as God.
That's right.
And the Bible's very clear here that he didn't do miracles as God, or he'd have done them as the Son of God at 20 years old, or 25, or 28. No, he did the miracles as a prophet under the old covenant, as a man, a righteous man, sinless, filled with the Holy Ghost, which is what this baptism represents. He goes into the water as a foreshadowing or prophetic type of his death, burial, and resurrection. He took on human flesh, which means he's now fully immersed into the human experience. He'll be tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He'll face everything we face, from hunger to weariness, to carry out his ministry then. Now, he can't be doing his ministry as God, because why does God need to be anointed?
Right. Glory to God.
Right. Yes. And so what we're seeing here is when he, after this, and he goes through the wilderness and the temptations, he comes out, it says in Luke 4:14, in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Then he says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he hath anointed me. And of course we read in the New Testament in Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So Jesus was anointed, here's how God did it, with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus identified that as fulfilling righteousness. So what he's saying is, I may be sinless, but this has to be for both of us. Wait a minute, both of us? John the Baptist is fulfilling righteousness and doing what's right at this moment. In other words, so Jesus saying, you're worthy to baptize me. It's the mightier one who's going to baptize in the Holy Ghost. The mightier one's authorizing the lesser one on an equal plane to submit to him, because both of them are now fulfilling, having righteousness fulfilled in them. And John, now John is wanting to resist it. Are y'all following this? Why? Because he sees himself as unworthy.
Yes.
You have to see, he drew his worthiness from the one who was sinless and was righteous, telling him it's right for him to do it.
Yes.
And it opened the heavens for the Holy Ghost to fall.
Yes.
Now, let's just follow this track a little bit. Since we're talking about this, let's just follow this track a little bit. And let's see where Jesus is getting so much of this. Mm-hmm. Because what we see is Jesus now is showing us on the other side of baptism.
Yes.
Immersion in water, which is death, burial, and resurrected. So he goes in the river, he goes under the water, sins are washed downstream, he comes up a new man in resurrection and walks out the other side of the river. When he does, the Holy Ghost is on him on the other side of the river. So here now is a man born of God that's right with God, and because he's right with God, he can now have access to the Spirit without measure.
Yes.
Because it's right for him to access that world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
See the connection between the two? This is so hugely important. And so here's also a foreshadowing that John the Baptist gets elevated because through this experience of what Jesus did by submitting himself, it brought about John's righteousness.
Yes.
It elevated him to a different place. And this is a foreshadowing of all the Old Testament saints that will be brought into righteousness. Because he was born under that covenant, made of a woman, and is going now to bring upon them what they lacked and reinstate them into their first estate with God.
Wow.
This is big. This is all about the fact death, burial, and resurrection made us righteous.
Yes.
And because we've been made righteous, we now have access to that spirit world. Glory to God now. This is huge. All right, so let's just, it might be good we got some time today. Huh?
Yeah, we have time.
Let's go back to the book of Isaiah, because I think this is something that if people would be honest about it, Isaiah 45, it'll kind of rock their world. Because Isaiah prophesies about this. And here's what he says, and we're just going to pick up in verse 8, all right? And here's what Isaiah 45 says in verse 8. Drop down, you heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness, and let the earth open. Can you see what happens? When you start preaching righteousness, everything that's supposed to happen in the earth that's been we've been locked out of, if you back it up, you see the anointing to open is on Cyrus. Secret things are locked up. It's the treasures of darkness. Darkness there, he says, I will go before you. I'll make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass. I will cut in asunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, which called you by name, I am the God of Israel. Now, the reason that's so important is because darkness here doesn't mean demonic.
Right.
It means obscure, or you don't have light. In other words, we're locked out of access to these riches because of a lack of revelation or the ability to see them.
Yes.
So now we're talking about information that's in the dark, that's locked away from us, that now gets revealed to us.
Amen.
All right?
Yeah.
So as we drop down, here's what he says. Drop down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. And let the earth open. You see that? Let the earth open.
Yeah.
Well, back in verse 1, he says, I will subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open for him the two-leaved gates. It won't be shut. There's something opening up in the earth because of the anointing that's coming on us that we didn't have access to before until we got this light or this revelation. So here's the revelation Isaiah's prophesying that's going to happen. Drop down, you heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Now we're going to prove here in a minute it's a revelation of righteousness. Let the earth open and let them, the word them there refers to heaven and earth working together, let them bring forth salvation. So you can see all the benefits of salvation come from the earth opening up, you see, and releasing what rightfully belongs to us because from the sky we see over in that we've been made the righteous of God of Christ, and it brings forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together I, the Lord, have created it. Listen to what it says in the Amplified Classic. Let fall in showers, you heavens, from above. Let the skies rain down righteousness, the pure, spiritual, heaven-born possibilities that have their foundation in the holy being of God. And let the earth open. Now that's signs, wonders, and miracles. That's things possible that aren't possible in the natural realm. That's access to heaven. He says they have their foundation in the holy being of God. Let the earth open and let them, the skies and the earth, sprout forth salvation. Let righteousness germinate, spring up as plants do together. I, the Lord, have created it. Glory be to God. And that tells us righteousness and an open heaven are synonymous.
Yes. Yeah.
And that heaven pouring out the rain, and rain is always symbolic of an outpoured spirit. So righteousness is what opens heaven that to cause the rain to pour out, to cause the earth to manifest.
Yes.
So as we follow this, notice what he says. Woe to him. This is the most critical component here. Woe to him that strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashions it, what are you making? Or to your work, he hath no hands. What's the point he's saying? He is saying, I have made you righteous. Woe be unto you when you say I'm not righteous.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I have created you righteous. I've made you a new creature. How dare you tell the creator he didn't make you right?
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
The pottery should not argue and resist the potter. They should agree and say, I am the righteous of God in Christ. I'm not a cracked pot, a flesh pot, a flawed pot.
Yeah. Amen.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And when we read on down, it's really clear. Woe to him that says to his father, you made me like this.
Yeah.
You made me wrong. You made me depressed.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You made me to have an afflicted life. You made me on the other side of, you know, the town that, that has to suffer poverty. No, no, he did not.
Nope.
Glory be to God. That's he right. didn't make us that way. And the Bible says in Psalm 100, what a powerful psalm that is. He said that it is the Lord, he hath made us and not we ourselves.
Yes.
And see, that's the problem is people are making themselves into something he never made them to be.
That's right. That's right.
And that's this identity crisis, and righteousness will fix all that.
Yes.
I'm about to have a stomping fit.
Yeah.
That's why it's the power to deliver.
That's right.
When a man gets a revelation he's righteous, then they know he's made right, so if he's in a male body, he's a man.
That's right. That's right.
It'll fix it. It'll fix the human heart.
Yes.
It'll totally destroy all of that deception and delusion.
Yes. The lies will have no place to
live. It's a lack of righteousness that's causing what we're facing today.
Yes, amen.
And the body of Christ has bought into it.
Yeah.
Trying to be relatable. So he says, woe to him that says to his father, what have beget thou to the woman? What have you brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now look what it says. I have made the earth. I have created man upon it. Even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and their hosts have I commanded. Now look what he says here. I have raised him up in righteousness. He's talking about the man he made on earth.
Yes. Yes.
I have raised, that means at the resurrection, he's prophesying.
Yes, that's right.
Which is why Jesus fulfilled all righteousness in type and shadow when he came out from under that water, because that's a symbol of the death, burial, and resurrection. So we see Jesus in his earthly ministry walking as a righteous man.
Yes. Yes.
With access to dominion that righteous men were created to have. That have a blood covenant with God. Jesus is walking as a man on the earth with access to the anointing that God gave the original Adam to rule the planet.
Yes.
And he got it through righteousness.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Glory to God.
My God. Anyway.
It's awesome.
So I've raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. This ought to solve the issue of why people struggle hearing from God. Mm-hmm. A revelation of righteousness is the number one master key of discernment. Yes. In fact, let me prove it to you. Hold your finger there and let's go to Hebrews. Are we doing okay?
Yeah, we're great.
Jump in here now. Okay. Whatever you need to do. What are y'all laughing at?
They're all glad that they're not here.
Fair enough. All right, now hold your finger there. Let's go to Hebrews 5. All right. Now, let's just read verse 6. Actually, no, let's don't do that. Let's read verse 5. It says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made high priest, but he that said to him, you're my son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, y'all got to see that track with Matthew 3, okay, where the Holy Spirit descends on him and said, this is my beloved son. You see the track? All right. So he's declared, he's fulfilling righteousness. And the Holy Spirit coming upon him is the spirit of sonship. It's the seal and the guarantee that he's going to walk in the fullness of everything that he has access to as a son. Here, though, this is referencing another place. This is saying, he that said to him, thou art my son, today have I begotten you. And as he said in another place, you are priest. After the order of Melchizedek. Now that's the Hebrew word Tzedek, the Lord our righteousness. That's one of the names.
That's
a covenant name. And he is Melchizedek, king of righteousness. Now he identifies when he got this title. He got this title forever. When God the Father said, today you'll be a son to me. And again, I'll be a father to you. Now, we're not going to take the time to go back four chapters and read where that was said. But that was said when he was raised from the dead.
Yes.
So when he was raised from the dead. Now, this is Isaiah 45 saying, I will raise him up in righteousness. Are y'all following me?
Yes.
I will raise him up in righteousness. I will direct his ways. Can you see the number one thing on the other end of being declared righteous is having complete access to hearing the voice of God, knowing the will of God, being clear about what we're to do, our steps being ordered,
that's right.
The steps
of a righteous
of a righteous man. Ordered. Woo. This is the number one thing keeping folks in the dark. Now let's keep on going now. So let's drop down then to verse 10 to see that we're still talking about the same thing because this is a rank. See, when we were created righteous, actually the Amplified Classic in verse 6 says forever after the order or with the rank of. You need to understand when we were raised together with him, we were seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ.
That's right.
We got a rank. Oh, come on now. Y'all willing to dig around here a little bit with me? We're going to step up into our seat.
Yes.
This is access to everything.
Yeah.
This is a rank we're supposed to be walking in.
And this is a rank for everyone. That's just ministers, not fivefold. It's for every believer.
It dismantles. It absolutely destroys the devil's ability to hold us on any level.
Right. The deception that it's not for you. It is for you.
Now, do you mind if I go to I want to go to another scripture and work our way back.
Amen.
Can we do that? Go with me to 1 John 3. Oh, y'all ready? Tell you what, we can have a Holy Ghost meeting right in here with everybody to watch it.
That's right.
If you just can't take it anymore and need to start running, just
go
it.
For it.
This is going to change your world. 1 John chapter 3. Have you ever read verse 8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the evil one? You ever put it in context? Go back to verse 7.
Yes.
Are y'all following? Y'all got your Bibles out, right? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous.
Yes.
That means not to believe you're righteous is a deceived mind. Mm-hmm. It's the deceiver at work.
Yeah.
Because he knows he can neutralize our dominion and he can keep hold, he can keep his place.
Yes.
Because when you see the connection here, it says he that committeth sin is of the devil. Mm-hmm. For the devil sinneth from the beginning for this purpose. Mm-hmm. Well, this can translate all the way back to verse 7. For this purpose he was manifested.
Yes.
To make you righteous even as he is righteous.
Yes.
Thereby destroying the works of the evil one. Can you see? He carried out God's plan, fulfilling righteousness in
us.
So that we are never again in any sphere where Satan has a right to control us in any area. Our path, our decisions, our thoughts, our health,
yes.
our finances. He has no say in what's right
yes.
in our lives.
That's right.
We have a rank far
yes.
above principality and power. And
yes.
And righteousness was put us there. Woo, glory to God. So we hadn't just been made righteous. He gave us his very own righteousness.
That's right, yes.
We are as righteous as he is.
Yes.
Satan
yes.
can't deal with us. But we got to get a revelation of this. We'll come back and deal with that maybe later if we get a chance. Mm-hmm. But the point that the Lord wants to make is that when we begin to believe that we've been made the righteous of God in Christ, the just shall live by faith. That's why faith has such authority. Faith will even cast out the devil. Why? Because with the heart man believes unto righteousness. Mm-hmm. And with the mouth then, a faith-filled confession
yes.
of a man that believes he's been made righteous has such authority.
Yes.
It will manifest salvation.
Yes.
It will manifest deliverance. It'll manifest dominion. He can't stop that. Faith-filled words put it down. And that's literally what Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 54:17. Every tongue, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will show it condemned.
Yes.
For this is the inheritance
yes.
of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me. Glory be to God. So it's the voice, it's the man that believes he's righteous and yes. says so that puts every other tongue down.
Yes.
Mm.
See, and so let no man deceive you.
Yeah.
See, Satan's at work accusing all the time to get you to accept. He's talking about an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
I know what we've been through in recent days, but you want to talk about an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
Satan is a sniper in the tree,
yeah.
firing at your mind,
yeah.
trying to get you to accept
yep.
that you're not worthy, or it's not time, or I don't have the money, or I'm too weak, and you've got to recognize those thoughts coming from out here. That's the deceiver talking.
That's right.
It's right for you to have it.
Amen. Amen.
Now let's go back to Hebrews 5. Called of God a high priest. Verse 10 now. After the order of Melchizedek, king of righteousness. And we see when he got that rank was when he was raised from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Of whom, now who are we talking about? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But particularly now, we're talking about what we know about him as the king of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, of this king of righteousness, we have many things to say, but they're hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Now, I want you to, Holy Ghost wants us to make the connection between a revelation of righteousness mm-hmm. and our ability to hear from God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is huge. So he says, so he's telling us that a person that doesn't believe they've been made righteous is going to have to force their confession out.
Yeah.
There's some things going to be hard for you to confess because you don't really believe that what you're saying is the truth. So it's going to be hard for you if you're really locked down in the pain and the symptoms To say Bastrops, I was healed, you almost have to grit your teeth and push it out. Yeah. Well, the reason you have to push against that is because there's a suppression of condemnation that's doubt and unbelief, and it's a cap on it. And you're having to push that because you don't really believe it. Mm-hmm. See, when you don't believe you've been made righteous, your confession carries no power, no punch.
Yes.
And so therefore, it's hard to be uttered. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of folks have a hard time confessing the word boldly. They don't believe they've been made right.
That's
with
right.
God.
Yes. Yes.
And here he says, for when the time we ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach us again the first principles of the oracles of God and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk, everyone's a big word there. Mm-hmm. Let's just break this apart a little bit. That's every believer in every church, mm-hmm. in every nation, in the whole world. If you really study Paul's writings, he wrote this same revelation. It's what he got in the third heaven. Mm-hmm. He wrote it to the Corinthian church. Mm-hmm. He wrote it to the Galatian church. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. He wrote it to the Jews, mm-hmm. the Greeks, the Italians. This is the gospel. Mm-hmm. Glory to God.
Yeah.
And he said here for everyone. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he's a baby. Mm-hmm. Now, Well, I know we've discussed this and some folks in the room, but this is not something you can read one time. Right. This is the foundation of everything we believe. Mm-hmm. And we're about to prove it because it goes into the next chapter. Mm-hmm. But here it says in the NIV, it would read this way, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. So he's telling us it's impossible to mature in who we are in Christ without a revelation of righteousness being our foundation. Yes, sir. That this is the believer's number one need. It's the first thing every Christian ought to be taught by every pastor in the mm-hmm. world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they were taught it, they wouldn't flounder around for 10 years trying to get God to do stuff for them.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. It'll fix their thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll deal with the deceiver. Mm-hmm. It'll position their heart to hear from God.
Yep.
It'll order their steps. Mm-hmm. It'll empower their faith. Woo! But strong meat belongeth to them that are of a full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern mm-hmm. good and evil. What I want to point out is we're dull of hearing. Then I want to point out the word discern. Righteousness is the number one tool of accurate discernment. Mm-hmm. When a person gets a revelation that they're the righteous of God in Christ, it's easy then to pick out which thoughts are from God and which didn't come from the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus said when the Holy Spirit would come, he's going to convince us of three things. He's going to talk to us in three arenas.
Yeah, that's right.
He's going to persuade us of sin because we believe not on him. Mm-hmm. So he's going to persuade us that no sin is sending anybody to hell.
Amen.
That the only sin people go to hell for is not accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
That's right.
That the sin question has been dealt with forever.
Amen.
Jesus took care of your sin.
Amen.
I don't care what you think about it. He has reconciled you to God, and the Holy Spirit needs to convince you sin has been adequately dealt with.
Yes, yes.
Woo! His totally. Blood dealt mm-hmm. with it. It dealt a death blow to the head of the
yes.
nature of that thing. And according to Hebrews 9, when he appears at his mm-hmm. second coming, Hebrews 9 says he will not appear a second time to deal with sin.
That's right, yes.
He's dealt with sin.
Yes.
He's coming back to deal with sin.
Yes.
Woo! Glory to God.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. Mm-hmm. People who don't know the Bible think, well, yeah, you know, he plucked my ticket. I mean, when it's my time, it's my time. No, he mm-hmm. didn't say it's appointed unto men a time to die. He said once.
Yes.
Once. And if you're born again, you already died once.
Yes.
Glory to God. You can see why the law of spirit of life will set you free from the law of sin and death. Because how could it be appointed a man once to die and that be fixed?
Yes.
And the Bible be full of, do these things and it'll lengthen your life. Do these things that'll shorten your days. Uh-huh. How could you do something that would lengthen or shorten your life if your date of death is fixed?
That's right.
I want to say to some people, read your Bible. You went to school. I mean, my daddy says somebody with one good eye and half a brain could figure that out. Yeah. I mean, you got to have help to be that stupid. We've had a lot of help.
There's
unfortunately,
been a lot of help.
On Sunday morning.
That's right, yeah. Hey. I was thinking that.
I know you were, yeah. Well, I said it for you. That way you don't get the ugly letters. But notice what he's saying. So he's saying righteousness will fix us so we can speak right, hear right,
yes,
and discern right.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
And then chapter 6 says, therefore leaving the principles or the first principles or the foundational principles, not laying again the foundation, he said. Can you see this? Righteousness is the foundation every believer must have to leave the basics and step on into the powers of the age to come.
Yes.
Without righteousness as the foundation for everything you believe, you can never believe God will do that great thing for you.
That's right. That's okay.
And this is now back to the original question. Mm-hmm. How does it affect us in responding to the spirit world, the spirit of God? Well, this is how. It says, we tasted the good word of God by verse 5, and the powers of the world to come. Glory be to God. He said, this we will do. Look at verse 3. He says, we'll do this and go on unto perfection. We will do this if God permit. Mm-hmm. See, there are things in the kingdom. Colossians 2 says this. Colossians 2 says, vainly puffed up in our fleshly mind, intruding into those things we have not seen. Revelation knowledge is the doorway or the access point into spiritual things. When people try to get into the spirit realm that it takes permission by revelation to get into, and they try to do that by mental assent, they're intruding into something they don't have the grace for. That's why it doesn't work. You have to see your way into it. And that's where a lot of people get in real trouble. They call that, they print cards and call themselves some ministry office and all this kind of stuff. That they don't have the fruit to back up. And, you know, it's like T.L. Osborne said, you know, if he can't produce it, you ain't fit to preach it. All right. Everybody was shouting and happy a second ago. So the point the Holy Spirit wants to make is hearing the voice of God here. Right? So in 1 John 3, he tells us, be not deceived.
Yes.
Right? That we are righteous as he is righteous.
Yes.
And that it will destroy, this purpose will destroy the works of the evil one. Now we see this is the proper foundation for us to be permitted into the place where when we're enlightened, in verse 4, we've tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. See the righteousness Holy Ghost connection? We started all the way back there in Matthew 3 when Jesus said it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness.
Yeah.
And as soon as he did it, bam, the Holy Ghost fell. So this is access to that realm.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Glory. And we've tasted the word of, I like to read it this way because the Greek, I think, bears it out. Not tasted the good word of God, but have tasted the word of his goodness. See, we need to get a revelation of how good is God. He is good, and he can't be anything but good.
That's right.
Every good gift comes from above, the Father of lights, and in those variables, not the pattern. So we've got, in order for us to walk on into maturity of handling these things of that realm, we've got to not just taste the good word of God, but taste the word of his goodness. In other words, get a revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sin's been dealt with.
Yes.
And every good and perfect gift we could ever need cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, and belongs to us now.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
And so he says, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Or the Passion Translation reads this way. I'm not real fond of using it, but I like the way it phrases it here. The power of the age that is breaking in. Or one other translation says the powers of the future world. So we can see righteousness then knows it's right for me to be able to reach into that world that's come to us. Grab hold of it by faith and pull it into my today. It's right for me to have it.
That's right.
I don't have to wait on God to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's done. It's finished.
It's right for me to do it. I want to go back to this. It seems the Holy Ghost keeps bringing this up because I've said it. It's been mentally apprehended, but I'm not sure it has gone boom in the heart of everybody watching. Jesus said to John the Baptist, it becometh us. To fulfill all righteousness.
Glory to God.
Now let's go down. Let's go down this track a little bit. Can we go down that track a little bit?
Yes, we can.
All right. Like I said, jump in here anytime. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Look at Isaiah 53. Now, this is what Jesus did on the cross. And this prophecy starts in Isaiah 52:13, and it says emphatically at the start of this prophecy, he will prosper, meaning he will succeed in what he's come to accomplish.
Yep.
Now, most believers only know a portion of this, and portions of verse 3, 4, and 5 basically is what they always quote. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities and so forth. And by, with his stripes we are healed. And that's about all they know, and they sometimes misquote that part. But all of this, down through verse 12, is his substitutionary sacrifice that he shed his blood for us to have a right to.
That's right.
And look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, actually, no, let's back up to verse 10. Verse 10 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. In other words, he carried all that for us. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin. When who? Now the Amplified reads this way. Yet it was the will of God for him to be bruised. In other words, he's saying God's will was carried out in that he didn't want the bruises and the sickness to stay on you. So Jesus took it.
Yes.
He suffered it. So it's God's will for us not to have it. So he took it.
Yes.
And so it tells us, he has put him to grief and made him sick. In other words, in our place. When you and he make his soul an offering for sin, and when he has risen from the dead in the time to come, has he risen?
Yes.
Woo!
Glory.
He shall see his spiritual offspring. He will prolong his days. Now, we just read about this in Hebrews 5 and Hebrews 1. Today you'll be a son to thee. Today again I'll be a father to you. You are a priest forever with the highest rank in the universe, King of righteousness. We're reading about this. Thy throne, O God, is forever. He'll do three things. He'll see his seed, he'll prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Hallelujah. That means that he will totally and completely prosper in this act of dealing with sin for him and you.
Yes.
And when he did it, what did he do? Verse 11. He shall see, well, we know this ties to verse 10, because he shall see the fruit of his travail. He shall see his travail produced what his soul longed for.
Yes.
And he will be satisfied fully that it got accomplished. For by his knowledge, this is Amplified Classic now, by his knowledge of himself, this is Jesus now, knowing who he is, what he came to do, and what the ultimate end game, what the goal was of the death, burial, and resurrection. By his knowledge of himself, which he possesses and imparts to others. Are you tracking this? Shall my uncompromisingly righteous one, my servant, will justify many and make many righteous.
Yes.
And he will, upright and in right standing with God, for he will bear their iniquities and their guilt with the consequences.
Yes.
Let the lion loose. We don't have a fight. He is saying, this is what I came to do, and I satisfied my greatest desire to make all men right with God.
Yes.
I accomplished it at my resurrection. I know who I am.
Yes.
I know what I did.
Yes.
I know what I came to do. Glory be to God.
Yes.
And this knowledge I have of what I came to do, I accomplished it. I see it. I prospered in it. It is finished. And now, I'm going to impart what I know about what I did for you to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to impart to you and reveal to you and make you know I made you as righteous as myself.
Yes.
I made you just like me. Yes. I defeated the devil. I took the keys. I've got a rank. I sat down far above. It was right. I'm the king, and I'm the king of kings.
Yes.
Here, have the gift of righteousness.
Yes. Glory to God.
God Almighty.
Glory to God.
So now him imparting this knowledge of himself to us is a revelation of righteousness. That's what that is. He's making us to know this. This is his highest desire, that we would know what he knows about himself. That we would be made to know everything he knows about what he did for me. Oh, my God. And it's been bought and paid for by the blood, which means everybody, every human on the planet, all over the world, has immediate and right access to this information. This is why it's got to be preached. Now, I want to read this because this is huge. His knowledge of himself. And what knowledge is he imparting to us? That he made us righteous. That he fulfilled and satisfied his greatest desire to do the will of the Father, which was to reconcile the world to God and make him right with God again. So, let me read it to you this way, and I believe it'll help you. Knowledge of righteousness is knowledge of him.
Yes.
See, sometimes we got to make these connections, or we'll think this is just a teaching.
It's more than that.
Oh, it's everything. Mm. It's positioning us to taste the powers of the world to come.
Yes.
It is the only foundation that's going to allow us to stand in the glory when the glory bomb hits.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
So let me read this again. Knowledge of righteousness is knowledge of him. That's what it says right there. And it affects impartation. You see the connection? See all the spiritual laws that are in that verse? So, revelation of righteousness has everything to do with impartation.
Yes.
I'm just, is it okay that we're going slow enough that we can just track this? So, he imparts knowledge of his righteousness to others, and it, that is the revelation of righteousness, that makes them like him. A person's never going to believe as he is, so are we in this world, unless they believe they've been made right with God.
That's right. They can't.
It's impossible.
That's right, yeah.
So, oh, glory to God. So this is the issue. So verse 12, he says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great kings and rulers, and he'll divide the spoil with the strong and mighty. Mm-hmm. This tells us that a revelation of righteousness is what strengthens our spirit to get our part of the spoils. Everything he bought and paid for, we'll take our part when we know it's right for us to have it.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen?
Thank you, Father. Yes.
Praise the Lord. You have anything you want to say?
I just, when you were talking about that, just 2 Corinthians 5:21 came up.
Yeah.
And I just want to just go there real quick, but I know most of us can quote it. Most of us know it, but I just want to read it in the Amplified. It says, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin. This is this is kind of summarizing a lot of what we've been talking about, but it takes the place. It reveals to us his greatest desire. And
absolutely,
it's not just Jesus, it's God's desire to bring us back into fellowship with him, into right standing with him. It says, so that in and through him, Christ, we might become endued with, viewed as being in, I love this part, and examples of the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
What we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness.
Now do me a favor.
Glory to God.
And don't stop there and read the next two verses.
Laboring together.
There you go.
As God's fellow workers.
See, there is no break in the context of thought.
Mm-hmm.
We break that up and treat that like a whole other subject. No, we've been made righteous, therefore we're equal with him, so we can labor with him, and the works he did we'll do also.
Yes.
And what does it say about deliverance and salvation and it being our time and now season? What does it say about all that?
It says, laboring together as God's fellow with him, then we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain, that merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them, do not receive it to no purpose. For he says in the time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and heeded your call, and I have helped you on the day of deliverance, the day of salvation. Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
All right, now this is huge. That means that a revelation of righteousness releases all great deliverance.
Yes.
And empowers every human now to do the works that he did because he went to the Father.
Yes.
This is the missing ingredient for folks that are trying to flow with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Do you see? Okay. It's right for you to flow with the Holy Ghost. You have full access to him.
Laboring together.
It's an already accepted welcome, and he's waiting for you to pray so he can answer it.
Yeah.
Now, since we're in 2 Corinthians 6,
sure.
I mean, let's drop down another verse or two.
Okay.
Okay? Let's let's drop down to verse 7. Are y'all ready for this? Are you sure? By the word of truth, say number one.
Number one.
By the power of God, say number two.
Number two.
And by the armor of righteousness.
By the armor of righteousness.
Say number three.
Number three.
On the right hand and on the left.
Mm.
Now this, what does he mean on the right hand and on the left? I'll tell you what he means. Mm-hmm. Let's read in the Amplified Classic.
Yes, amen.
Because in the right hand you hold your sword, and the left hand you hold your shield.
Yes.
And he's saying it's armor.
Yes.
that the truth and the power are accessible by this armor of righteousness.
Yes.
Because I've been made... Because it's the truth that I've been made righteous. I've been empowered with everything I need.
Yes.
To speak the word.
Yes. Look,
well, let's just read it in Amplified Classic. By speaking the word of truth in the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand to attack and the left hand to defend.
Yes.
Whew. Now you wonder why people aren't winning war. They're not discerning. Oh, that's not God. That's the devil telling me that. Well, I resist that in Jesus' name. But they can't do that because it's hard to hear.
Right, right.
They're babies in discernment. They don't have their. They're not exercised to recognize that's not God talking to me. Mm-hmm. And righteousness is the key.
Yes.
To getting the filter clear. Right. Both in all spiritual warfare for victory, mm-hmm. righteousness is going to be the tongue that puts down every weapon. Yes. Yes,
sir. Thank you, Father. That's right.
Both to take ground.
Yep.
And to defend ground. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. In fact, let's, you know, you can't make a doctrine out of one verse, and mm-hmm. I don't think we have. But how about we go to another verse?
Just for good measure.
Oh, we got some more measure in here. Let's go back to Isaiah's prophecy about this.
Amen.
And you know the great scripture that says that so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth that won't return to me void.
Yeah.
But Paul writes it in Philippians 2, where it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear he is mm-hmm. Lord to the glory of God the Father. Mm-hmm. In Isaiah 45, notice what it says in verse 23. I have sworn by myself.
Yes.
The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Mm. Now, this is the Old Testament verse that Paul is quoting mm-hmm. in Philippians 2. So he's saying when we use the name of Jesus in faith, it's the scepter of righteousness extended.
Yes.
That it's right for us to use that name, and when we do, we can expect results. Mm-hmm. Yes. It will not, that name cannot be used in faith without affecting results. It will not return void. Mm-hmm. So the name of Jesus is mm-hmm. the scepter. Mm-hmm. And of course, we see that in John 1:12. John got it. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously a lot of them did, but John said to as many as receive him, to them mm-hmm. gave he the power to become.
Yes.
That word, Greek word power means the right, the privilege, mm-hmm. the authority.
Yeah.
So you could say to as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God, even as many as believe on his name.
Yes. Yes.
So he tells us there that a revelation of righteousness is the master key of receiving anything.
Thank you, Jesus.
He also tells us that righteousness is what empowers us to become.
Yes.
And he also tells us that he and his name are one and the same.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. that name and righteousness are synonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what he's saying here in the prophets. He's saying, I have sworn by myself that the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. So you recognize that, right?
Yes.
Paul quoting that in Philippians 2.
Yeah.
Surely shall one say. And I would say certainly everyone should say.
Yes, amen.
In the Lord I have. I'd say that right now. In the Lord.
In the Lord.
I have. Righteousness.
Righteousness.
And strength.
And strength.
Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed.
Yes.
Now once again, right hand, left hand, to attack and defend. Mm-hmm. This is what he's saying here. And the Amplified, here's the way it phrases that. Only in the Lord shall one say, I have righteousness, which is salvation and victory, and strength to achieve. A revelation of righteousness is strength to achieve.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
in the Lord, because I've been made right, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Yes.
I have the strongest authority in three worlds. No other name or being can tell me no when God said it's right for me to do it.
Yes.
Strength to achieve. Glory. But then notice what else he said. And all that come were incensed against him, they'll be ashamed. Mm-hmm. So now you can see. They're coming at you to stop you. Defense.
Yep.
Attack. I can do it. I will achieve it.
Yes.
And nothing can stop me. The armor of God, the weapon of righteousness. Mm-hmm. On both battlefronts. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. It is your offense and your defense. It's everything we need.
No weapon formed against you will prosper, because you have the shield of righteousness.
That's it. That breastplate is there.
And then your tongue goes forth with the word of faith.
That's it. Which is why we got to get righteousness on our tongue.
Yes.
See, righteousness speaks. This is why you can't, if somebody truly is fully persuaded something's right, you can't keep them from confessing it.
That's right.
That's Romans 10. It says, with the heart. It doesn't say you believe your sins are forgiven. That is not what it's that's not how you get saved.
It's not in the context.
A person doesn't get saved by believing their sins are forgiven.
That's right.
Or by begging God or praying a sinner's prayer.
That's
last
right.
time I checked in the Bible, he doesn't hear the prayer of sinners. There is no such thing as a sinner's prayer. Religious tradition made that up. As a vehicle to actually do what the Bible says. Christianity is not a prayer, it's a confession.
Amen, that's right.
It's a profession of faith.
The great confession.
Woo, it's the great confession. And the bold confession of the word of faith is, right? Mm-hmm. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. to salvation or deliverance.
Yes.
So anything I can fully persuaded is right for me to have, I'm going to call those things not as they were. You can't keep me from confessing it, because I really believe it out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This is why a revelation of righteousness affects the faith confession more than any other one revelation. Mm-hmm. Because righteousness speaks.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Can I read verse 25?
I would like for you to.
In the Lord, in Christ, in him, shall all the offspring of Israel be justified, enjoy righteousness, salvation, and victory, and all shall glory.
All shall glory. It's access to the glory realm. Yeah.
That's good.
You know, I realize, as we've already discussed, we could. This is his throne, O God, forever. His kingdom is everlasting. So we're not going to exhaust this subject today on one broadcast, so we can be here this afternoon. So I have one more thing to go to, really to nail down our answer to the question about that. Now, how does that affect us flowing in the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
I think it's already been answered in many ways, but there's something that we can connect, I think, a little deeper. But while we're in Isaiah 45, I want to finish. I'd like for us to finish reading verse 13, and we're going to read down into verse 14. Then we're going to go to Galatians 3, where we started.
Yep.
But he says, talking about his man, I have raised him up in righteousness. I will direct his ways. Wow, there's just so much here. But the point is, that's where we got on that tangent about hearing from God. See, righteousness is the doorway to hearing from God, knowing the will of God, and our steps being directed by the Spirit of God. And he will build my city. This is another reason why a lot of ministries struggle building.
Slide that in there.
Well, he didn't slide it in. He just said it. I mean, I've got it on good authority here. This is huge. I was just, the Lord spoke to me just very clearly. He literally says, right here. Look at this verse in Isaiah 49. It says in the Amplified Classic, verse 17, Isaiah 49, 17. I just believe I'm supposed to say this and folks are supposed to receive it right now. This is an effect of righteousness. Your children and your builders make haste.
Yes.
Are you listening to me
now? Yes.
See, this is Romans chapter 9, verse 28. He said, I will make a quick work in the earth. I will cut the work short in righteousness. Yes. When you know it's the right time to build, you don't wait on interest rate. You don't wait on the folks telling you, the city saying you can or can't do it. You have enough authority as a man of God to say, wait a minute, this is my city too. And you That's go right. stand in front of them and say, no, this is wrong. It's right for us to build on that property. Huh?
Yeah.
You let the strip joint build down the street. But you got to have enough boldness.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? All right. I just sensed in my spirit. Now, this is a good example of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Cutting loose a grace.
Yes.
That's going to accelerate some things that need to be built. Yeah. They need to come up quick. Yeah. Mm. In fact, let's receive it right now.
Yes.
It's right.
Yes.
It'd be right for you to have double up. It'd be right for you to receive two buildings at once.
Yes.
If it's right for you to receive a million, it's right for you to receive 2 million.
Thank you, Jesus.
If it's right for you to have a debt-free house, it'd be all right to have two debt-free houses. Come on now. We receive it. Yeah, that's it right there. It's right. Your builders make haste. Your children make haste into what God has for their lives. The things they need is going to start happening quickly for them. This is exactly what Isaiah 54 says. When it says, I will lay your foundation right, with fair colors and your windows with agates. And he talks about, oh, storm-tossed and afflicted, thou shalt be comforted. And then he says, great shall be your peace. Yeah. Right? All your children shall be taught of the Lord.
Yes.
And great shall be the peace of your children. Well, what are they supposed to be taught? Well, we take them to church. We send them to Christian school. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that Isaiah 54, 13 says, all your children shall be taught of the Lord. Great shall be the peace of your children. And verse 14 tells you what to teach them. The very next verse says, in righteousness thou shalt be established. So it's the number one thing every child, grandchild in a righteous family ought to be taught is that they're the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes. When they are taught who they are, that they are the righteous of God in Christ, they will have an unshakable, unwavering foundation that the world cannot gainsay or resist. You won't go to bed and fear at night that drug addiction, all kind of craziness are going to get them, because great will be their peace and undisturbed composure, because what is on your house is the strongest spirit in three worlds. Glory to God.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
This is what ought to be taught our children.
Yes. Glory. Yes.
And by the time you get to verse 15, he says they will be far from oppression.
Yeah.
That's talking about your children. Yes. Talking about the children of the Lord. He's actually talking about the Gentile world, which is all of his kids. So he's saying all of his kids will have the foundation of being taught righteousness. And when all of his children in the world for everlasting, he will see his seed prolong his days.
Yes.
When his children are taught righteousness, peace will manifest on his children, and they will be far from even the thought of oppression.
Yes.
Or from terror or from fear.
Yes.
And even though those three demons at once gather against them, they will fall for their sake. Glory be to God.
Yes.
So my children are going to make haste.
Yes.
They're going to do greater things much earlier in life than I ever thought about.
Yes.
And I'm not intimidated about putting my thumb on them and keeping them down so that, you know, they think dad's some big something. I've not done my job unless they quickly explode around the world.
Yes.
It's time for them to give themselves permission to cut loose.
Yes.
Spiritual kids.
Mm-hmm.
All the partners, ministers,
yes.
And HEMA,
yes.
Ministerial affiliation.
Yes.
It is time apostolically for them to have orphanages and churches and crusades around the world. It's time for them to have their own TV shows and networks and Hope for Today and Hope Now and everything else. Glory to God.
Yes.
What is this thing
hope
called
for
again?
You. Hope for you.
Hope for you today. And hope tomorrow. Days of our lives. As the world turns. And hope yours is turning into righteousness. Glory
That's
to God.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, I get into this thing,
yes.
I know the Lord spoke this to me years ago. Jacob said it in the car, and I don't know if he's heard me say it or he just heard the Holy Ghost say it and confirmed it. Either way, it's all of the Holy Ghost, because when he said it, it jumped in me, so I know he was speaking by the Holy Ghost. He used a phrase God spoke to me some years ago. He said, there's a righteousness revolution.
Yes, yes.
I'm convinced we're going to have some righteousness revolution meeting.
Yes.
God, it's just going to turn things. It's going to turn the world right side up.
Yes.
Glory be to God.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, sir. Woo! Are y'all getting anything?
Yeah.
Anybody glad you came today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Glory to God. All right. So let's read this real quick. Okay. Where were we? Isaiah 45. He says, I will direct his steps. Isaiah 45, 13. I've raised him up in righteousness. I will direct all his ways. He will build my city. That's where we got off on that. All of these things are things righteousness will grant you strength to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he will, read it, let go my captives.
Yes. Mm.
That's the deliverance ministry.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
It's right for me to cast out devils.
That's right.
It's right that when people come into my presence, their bondage cannot stay on them.
Yes.
They've just run up against a power they can't resist.
That's right. Glory to God.
Not for price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts,
mm-hmm.
the Lord God of the angel armies.
Mm-hmm.
That means to carry out what he's told us to do. He's assigned angels to our ministry to go help us get this done. To stomp into a POW camp and cut them loose. In the name. In the nations. In every meeting. First class flight. In the seat beside you when somebody has a full blown stroke. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, you're going to recognize verse 14. Those of you that are Bible students, you're going to recognize it because Paul quoted this in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia. Well, the Amplified says, the labor and wealth of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a wealth transfer.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the wealth is this. Ethiopia, the Sabaeans, men of stature. That means we have a right to stand before great men and kings and princes and presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. That means there are some people that are supposed to connect with what you're assigned to do.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And they're going to come with their wealth.
Yes.
Yeah, glory to God.
And it's right for them to give big into the assignment.
Yes. Yeah.
Hallelujah. But you got to see what you're called to do worthy of it. They shall come after thee. In chains is how they're going to come. But they'll fall down to you. And they'll make supplication to you saying, surely God is in you and there is none else. There is no God like you.
Yeah.
Paul quoted that in 1 Corinthians 14. As the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy in church. First Corinthians 14 says, when you stand in front of a man and prophesy, you unlock and open the secrets of his heart, and he knows you could not have known any of that but by the Holy Ghost, and he will fall down and say, surely God's in you of a truth. Now there's your connection between a revelation of righteousness and the gifts of the Spirit. It unlocks those hidden things. Oof. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Glory. Now let's go to Galatians 3. I'm telling you what, the anointing's dropping in here.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
You can't talk about this stuff without it manifesting.
Yeah.
Galatians 3. We started reading this, so let's just read it. Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. Now we talked about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's how we kind of took our tangent and talked about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit came on Jesus and put him in the ministry.
Yeah.
Jesus wasn't in the ministry until he got filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
So the only righteous way to do ministry.
Whoops.
That's why it doesn't work without the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Because ministry without the Holy Ghost isn't right.
Yep.
It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Here he says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles. Oh my God. Works miracles among you. So the working of miracles is a ministry of the Spirit. And he's about to tell us how to do it. Doeth he it by the works of the law? Or by what? The hearing of faith. Now that can seem like a standalone verse till you read the next two words.
Yeah.
That verse doesn't stand alone. You can't just hear faith teaching and work miracles. This is even as. He tells you what it is you're hearing that you believe.
Yes, that's right.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Can you see? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, so there's no way to believe you've been made righteous unless you hear preaching about righteousness.
That's right.
Glory be to God.
Glory.
So when you're preaching righteousness, it cuts the ministry of the Holy Ghost loose.
Yes.
To take everything that's wrong in a person's life and start making it right. God Almighty. So when they hear it and believe, wait a minute, you mean I should be healed? Suddenly they start thinking, hey, it's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe it is right for me to be here. And then when they get convinced of it, you can't keep them from being here.
Yes.
It's the master key.
Yes.
And he goes on to talk about partnership. This is the doorway to the fullness of all partnership.
Laboring and together.
That's it. That's the point. You see it? You see the connection? Yeah. And then by the time he gets to verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, curse everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, all the blessing of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles. So according to, if you read the whole thing, you're seeing the ministry of the Spirit and the working of miracles is part of the blessing of Abraham.
Yep.
We'll let that sink in now. See, we're always, you know, just believing for stuff and what our needs are and all that. No, that's not the full blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham, the real promise of Abraham is verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the nations through Jesus Christ, that we might receive.
Yes. Yep.
The promise of what?
The Spirit.
So we got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And when we got the Holy Ghost, because we believe we were made righteous.
Yes.
Bam! We got all his ministry.
Yeah.
We got prophecy. Tongues.
That's right.
Interpretation of tongues.
Yes.
Word of wisdom.
Yes.
Word of knowledge. Discerning of spirits.
Yes.
How could a revelation of righteousness create the most accurate discernment without the Spirit of God, who knows the mind of the Father and discerns everything, operating through us to give us that discernment, to cause us to know. So we can see then the ministry of the Spirit is cut loose by revelation of righteousness. Mm-hmm. I'm probably done except for one more statement. Oh, I'm not done. But, because the Holy Ghost is never done. But,
that's right.
You know, I used to go to the all-you-can-eat catfish buffet, and I'd eat it till, you know, you see the tail flopping out of my mouth. One guy said, I'm going to get my money's worth. I eat so much fish, I can touch it with my finger, you know. That's the way some folks feel about the scripture about right now, but that's okay. I want to back up and look at something here in the chapter above it. And it's Galatians chapter 2. And I just want to make a statement that it may not fully answer the questions people have about this scripture or the phrasing of it, but I believe it will help you. In Galatians chapter 2, he says in verse 20 and 21, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That means the whole end game of why he died was to grant me access to righteousness.
Yes. Yes.
But what he's really saying here is that grace is frustrated without a revelation of righteousness.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people think that what they do, that they've seldom understood this phrase. How would you frustrate the grace? That doesn't make sense to me. Well, he says it right here. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness has come by the law, then Christ has died in vain. So he gives us the definition in his own writing. He is saying grace is frustrated without a revelation of righteousness.
Yeah.
Why? Because the abundance of grace reigns through the free gift of righteousness. And all the gifts of the Spirit are charis mata. Mata, the result of charis grace.
That's right.
So, can you see now where the connection is? They're manifestations of the grace of God. The gifts of the Spirit, and when the Spirit wants to do something, and that grace can't flow, or you resist it, or a body resists it, it frustrates. It grieves the Spirit.
Yeah.
Frustrates the grace. So, you, unless we have a revelation of righteousness, we're going to frustrate the grace of God because the full promise of the Spirit can't flow because we won't allow it. We won't believe it's right or it's unworthy or we'll have fears about it or we'll wait or we have to get ourselves mentally involved and convince ourselves to do it or push ourselves out to prophesy because we're shy now. We're intimidated. No, the righteous are as bold as a lion. It will literally change your DNA.
Yes. Yeah,
when you get this revelation, it'll change everything about how the gifts flow in your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So, the gift of righteousness makes the abundant grace reign and become operative. And that's a key word, operative. Righteousness is the gift that makes the kingdom operate.
Yeah.
The moment the King of Righteousness extends that scepter, things go to work. The whole kingdom responds. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So,
glory to God.
If we were to be asked, what does the revelation of righteousness have to do with the manifestation of the flow of the Holy Ghost, his ability to move and our ability to respond? One word. Everything.
Amen. Wow. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah, glory to God, glory. You know, it has everything to do with that revelation of righteousness just unlocks.
And it
reveals every deception.
Yeah.
It shines the light on every deception the enemy tries to tell us, everything we've thought about ourselves, what someone's told us about us. It reveals the truth of it, that it's all lies, it's all based in darkness and ignorance and misunderstanding. We get moved into a kingdom that it's right for us to have everything that Jesus has. It's right for us to flow in the gifts like Jesus did. It's right for us to go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. That's right for us. It's right for us in our homes to pray for our kids and believe for healing for them and see them get raised up out of sickness. It's right for us to talk to our teachers and our other fellow students. It's right for us to talk to our coworkers about what God has done for them to see the sin problems dealt with. They're in right standing with God. They just don't know it. They haven't activated it because it's the great confession. They have to confess they've been made righteous, that they know that righteousness starts and that they believe what Jesus did was finished.
Absolutely.
Jesus made us righteous. And then he said, you know what? My righteousness is the best. It's the only one acceptable, so I'm going to give you mine.
Absolutely.
And you live in mine. Oh, that is so good. Thank you, Father.
You know, I wonder if we really have a grasp on how much gospel Jesus preached in one verse in Matthew 6:33.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we use that word operative, think about that word operative and think about Matthew 6:33. In fact, just quote it. Just say it. Say it out. I want to hear you say it.
But seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Now think about that.
That's a dramatic pause.
The pause is perfect. Because he just literally said that righteousness is equal to the entire kingdom.
That's right. Yes.
And he said, not only should we seek it, but first, that is the doorway to the whole rest of the kingdom. And the word seek literally is the connotated to our English word research, like do a research page. In other words, when you research righteousness, you're studying him and the kingdom.
Yes. Glory to God. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. All these things. What's something that's holding you? That's holding you back. That's a lie, a deception that's beat you down over time. What's this world tried to teach you? The truth of who you are in Christ.
Yeah.
The righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Breaks off all those bondages.
Glory to God.
It brings true freedom. So you can live the life he made for you.
All these things. I wonder if all things would include our builders making haste. I wonder if all things would include our children having peace and an undisturbed composure and being far from the thought of it. I wonder if all things could include prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning. I wonder if a ministry needed more fluency in the manifestation of the gifts that come out of the kingdom, if all things would include the manifestation of the working of miracles and the ministry of the Spirit in our services.
Yes.
In our lives, in our prayer lines, would it make it operative?
Yes, it would.
And I would say yes.
All. Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory.
Wow.
Glory.
What a good day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here and for joining us today and just teaching what the Holy Spirit put on your heart for it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and for you. Let's just pray for everybody that might be watching today, everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. Let's just believe God, yeah. Father. We thank you that you said the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. I thank you that there would be the increase of the fruits of righteousness throughout this room, throughout this meeting, that everything it is right for this Freedom Conference to manifest, to achieve, to receive, to see function. In other words, the fullness of your will for your convening of this week, this assembly, and these people.
Yes, Father.
We release our faith for every offering, all of the finances, every ministry gift, attendee, speaker. We thank you that they truly, by the endowment and the endowment of the very same power that raised Jesus from the dead, will be like the tongue of a pen of a ready writer, that they will indelibly imprint on the heart of the people, that the people will come expectant, stirred up, already influenced by both the Holy Spirit and the angels that are drawing them here. We expect for it to be line upon line and precept upon precept, from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. We thank you that it will only increase from this moment, that there is an absolute explosion of miraculous, even creative miracles that will carry them through the balance of this meeting, that not one person will leave like they came, including those things that concern us hundreds of miles away, states away, ministries away, our churches, our own vision. We break the power of all of it. We cast all our care over on you. Woo, glory to God.
Yes.
And we know it's all right. We are at peace. Oh, we are covered, strengthened, helped, provided for. We hear from God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And right now, I decree you're raising everyone in the sound of my voice, raising them up in righteousness, that you're directing their paths, that you are causing them to operate. Things are being built in their lives. Things are being delivered in their lives. They will let the captives go free, and they will not return without their sheaves of the hundredfold gospel manifestation to prove you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Lord, I am expecting miracles of the double. I'm expecting fullness of the blessing. I am expecting 100-fold miracles while the meeting is in operation. And may it be done now by the harvesting angels, for the mighty Lord of hosts in the name of Jesus has said it shall be so. We believe we receive it.
Yes.
We have it.
Yes.
We're not leaving the same. Glory.
Yes.
Woo. I believe it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 What
glory
a good day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for watching online. We love you all. God bless. Have a great day. Be back here tonight, 6:30. You don't want to miss it. We love you all. Bye-bye.